evening, one and all, on Wednesday, middle of another week, still in April, but it's flying through, isn't it? I tell you, it was typical April today, really nice and huge storm, and then just a sort of so-so evening. It's okay. It's part of the weather here in New England. It's part of the weather in Old England as well, I can tell you. Well, before I introduce my guests, I have to make an apology about yesterday. We had Joseph B. Wallenstein on yesterday, and at the end I said about how Joe talked to Flynn before he was murdered. It wasn't Flynn that was murdered, it was Miranda. You know, where we get the Miranda rights from. It was actually Miranda that was murdered in the end. So I must apologise. Flynn was not murdered. But hey, you know, it was such an interesting and really I learned a lot myself from it yesterday. And I got it right now. So that. Anyway, about my guest today. What can I say about her? She award winning. Which is always a good start. And she wrote poems. She was in The Chicken Soup for the Soul, World Riot, Tone Apla Review, Sonnets and Slab, and short stories and all sorts like that. But now she has brought out, well, the first two, I believe, in a series of, I don't know what you call it. It's sort of cross-genre, shall I say, but I think we'd better find out a bit more about that and about some of the other stuff that this lady has been up to, because there's a bit of interesting stuff going on with this. Anyway, I better introduce you, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only, but it's not the one and only, because when I was looking her up, there was two of them with the same name. But I always say one and only, with the one and only Laura Kemp. Hi, Laura. How are you doing?
I'm good, and I love the way that my name sounds with your accent.
Well, there you go. I was looking you up onto, you know, as you do, you know, to check and everything. Uh-huh. And this lady wrote this book and this book. No, she didn't. That's not her.
Yeah, I've gotten a few times my identity confused with the other Laura Kemp who writes. I don't know. I think I'm romantic.
Yes, he does romance. Yes.
Romantic comedy.
Yeah. Your romantic comedy. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Not what I write.
No.
So people will say, "Oh, I loved this," and I'll go, "Oh, sorry, mine's the weird, spooky,
weird, spooky
one." So.
Yeah, because it's not the first time this has happened. I must admit, I did have a. I think it's about 2 years ago, I spent the first 10 minutes of a show talking to somebody who was totally different to the person I was speaking
no.
to. But they took it very well. They took it. They didn't quite understand some of the things I was saying. But
I thought maybe you just covered it.
No, it was
like,
okay.
Known.
Anyway, as I said, award-winning silver medal in the regional fiction region's favourite bronze medal in the paranormal fiction. An NEIA winner for the best cross-genre, because this is what you write, cross-genre. Now, in your words, what does that mean?
Well, you know, I think that the book world is so kind of caught up in genre.
Tell us,
What genre? I just wrote a book, and I wrote a story, and it came, I took all of these different elements of the stories that I liked growing up, and it had a little bit of everything in it, because I like romance, so there was romance. I like spooky, there was spooky. I like funny, so there's funny. So I don't know if I, like, cognitively tried to write cross-genre. I just wrote a book, and I didn't give myself, or a story, and I didn't really give myself any rules or boundaries. I was like, uh-oh, don't do that, or they'll have to...
No, good for...
To put it on.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's what shelf to put it on, in the shop or the library, isn't it? That's
where they're going to put it on.
Exactly. But I ran into this with my YA stuff, and somebody moaned that, you know, this part can't be a YA. There's people of all ages, because my book, hey, I had reviews from 8 to 80, you know. Oh, but YA can only be read by people up to 21. Get out of it.
Can be read by anybody.
Exactly. And I bet you more people over over 30 read it, and under 30 so quite often in the YA world.
I don't even know where they come up with the stuff.
I know, it's crazy.
Goodness. I know. But so it's across genres, a little bit of everything.
Okay, so it's a bit of everything. So in other words, it's a good read, which I think, let's just
call it
that. That's what it seems like from what I've heard. Now, this is a thrill ride series, and it's the book, the series is Yellow Woods series, is it?
Well, yeah, the first book was is called Evening in the Yellow Wood, and when the publishing house said, hey, what do you want to call the series? Because I have three. The third I'm almost finished with.
Okay.
I said, the Yellow Wood series. So agreed.
When in doubt. Yeah, you're right. When in doubt. I was going to ask about that because, I mean, the titles. Well, the hardest things, one of the most weird things, I think, is picking the people's names. Sometimes they just come to you. Sometimes, and we've covered this lots of times in the show over the years, is, you know, that the characters talk to you and, you know, they tell you the story. If you don't listen, that's when the supposed writer's block comes up. It's not that it's writer's block, it's the characters don't want to talk to you that day.
They don't want to talk to you anymore.
Exactly. Right. I mean, we've had people who've had to completely rewrite their book because somebody wouldn't die, for instance. They tried to kill this character off 10 times, wouldn't die, so she had to rewrite the whole book. So how are you with names when it came to coming up with names?
Well, you know, I name everything in my life. I name my minivan. My minivan's name is Skylar because it's blue. My minivan was red and it was cinnamon. So I name all the pets in our house, and my kids say, Mom, you're just really good at naming things.
There you go.
So I just, like, my main character's name is Justine. That came out of nowhere. I was just writing the dialogue, and her mother introduces her by saying her name. And that name, Justine, just came out, and I was like, oh, I like that. It feels
there
right.
You go. Characters talking.
So, I don't really have a lot of issues. A lot of times I get stuck, like, with certain letters. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll look and I'll have, like, six characters with the letter B or something.
Oh, really?
So I don't know what that's about. And I'll have to switch. I'm weird OCD like that. If I have too many, I'll change it. Like, if I have too many characters whose names start with a B. Or they sound the same, or they have this weird syllables, like syllables. I think it's from being, I like music and I'm in a band.
Yeah.
So I think it's a musical thing.
Yes, you have to have a mix, yeah. Not just all one section. Exactly, I can understand what you mean there. So the Yellow Wood was the first one. Evening in the Yellow Wood was the first one. Yellow Wood was a series. And then you've got this second one come out, which is called Snow in Summer.
Snow in Summer. That's been out since November. And then the third is almost completed. I may be a few days away, but it's so hard to finish it because it's the last one,
right,
with these characters. So I almost feel like I don't want to leave you, I don't want to end it. So I think I have a little bit of a dread.
I was going to say, when you started it, did you intentionally want it to be a trilogy?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't intended to be, but my publishing house thought it might be a good idea, and I loved the characters, so I said yes. Although I had not left the book. I mean, it had a nice ending. It was tied up nicely, but I didn't have any idea how I was going to continue their story whatsoever.
Because I know
intimidating.
Some people, they sort of finish the third off and decide it's not finished, and either have to do a fourth or do a prequel.
So I could always do, you know, I guess I can always just keep digging these characters up. You know,
there you go.
They could have kids, or they could.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, sometimes these characters demand, you know, these minor characters want their own book. They want to become major characters, that happens. So this character in your book, she is sort of a cross between the supernatural and with a thrill bit and that. So how would you describe it?
Describe my main character?
Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, she's kind of like me. I kind of based her on my. I mean, I'm not supernatural, but I based her on my. Myself, I moved up to Northern Michigan when I was about in my early 20s, and she did too. And I guess I based her on myself 20 years ago when I was a lot smaller and cuter. So maybe I'm going back to my my glory days. But yeah, she's insecure. She has daddy issues. But in the course of the story, she finds her strength and her worth through learning how to just depend on herself and learning that she is strong. And I don't know, maybe that's kind of my inner journey too. I don't know, but I put a lot of myself definitely into Justine, and I think I had to.
Because she ends up, you know, as you say, go to Michigan and discovering about, you know, she's got an autistic brother she never knew about, and her father was doing living a double life and all this. And then she ends up helping catching a killer.
So, and I based the autistic brother on, I used to work with special needs kids for many, many years, and I had a favorite student. And the kids with ASD were always kind of my favorite to work with. So I based the character of Adam, the little brother, on my favorite student. And I always had kind of like a brother-sister relationship with him. I loved him to death. So it really wasn't hard for me at all to put him in the part of the brother with her.
What about the baddie, for want of a better word? Because this there of course is an immortal supernatural that's been hunting her family. Not that she sort of just steps right in it, I guess.
Yes, she steps right in, and that's a great thing to say. Oh, do you mean, did I base him on anybody?
No. I'm just saying, you know, because, I mean, how was that? Because sometimes, you know, the baddies are the best people to write about.
Yeah, it was it's fun to write characters, and I do theater too. And I was always cast because I have blonde hair, blue eyes, as the like ingenue. You know? But one time in Annie Gets Your Gun, I got cast as the villain, and it was the most fun I ever had because I could say anything, I could do anything, I could be mean. I didn't, and it was kind of the same writing this character, these bad characters. I could just let loose. So I do agree that it is really fun sometimes to play the bad character, and it's really fun to write them too. So I agree. They're as much fun, if not more fun, to write.
Right, because you leave this in the end of the first book. You know, she's with this Deputy Dylan Locke, isn't it? Yeah, and trying to get the clues, and yes, I guess as the more they dig into the murder and stuff like that, they dig into the past and the fact that there is this supernatural link going on. Which again is that now, see, I know about that. That is you, because you do a bit of the supernatural stuff and the ghost hunting and experience quite a bit of it.
I do. You know, ever since I've been young, I've been real interested in ghosts and spooky stuff. And I like the ghost tours, and I used to kind of see strange things in my house when I was younger. And it's always just kind of fascinated me, and I like being scared. I'm one of those people who loves being scared.
Well, my wife even more so than myself. You know, we have the odd, see her mum or her dad, or we hear the dead cats walking around the floor and stuff like that.
But you're just kind of close to them.
Oh, crikey, yeah. I mean, you know, you're lying asleep and suddenly you feel something jump on the bed. And
what's that?
Yeah.
But they're not there anymore.
The best one I had was back in England, and it's a residual haunt, obviously, but there's something called the Icknield Way, which is an old Roman road, goes from London up to the sort of Midlands north and that. And I was going over there on the way to Aylesbury one night on my scooter there, you know, in the night and stuff like that. And we'd sort of drive past something and you sort of do a double take, thinking, did I just see that sort of thing? Well, I did. I sort of pulled in, did I just see that? And I looked round and there was this Roman legion just disappearing.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
You saw like a full-bodied apparition.
Oh, yeah, this is just a residual sort of thing of this. And I sort of stopped, I met this person I was meeting in the pub, and I sort of stopped there and the barber said, oh my goodness, you wouldn't believe it, I just saw. And he says, oh yeah, the Roman legion, yeah, we have people seeing that all the time.
They Oh, you thought you were special.
Yeah. What a letdown.
That's
yeah.
pretty neat, though. I don't really. But anyway, he puts the
pub, does he? It was before. It's when I first got there. That one when I was there at the end.
I say the Roman guy.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. They come in for a glass of mead every so often. Yeah. So
that's cool.
You got the first book done and out of the way. Was this a case where you'd already started the second book when the first book came out?
Yes, I did. I started it before. Well, I had finished the book, but it was published, and I had finished the second book maybe like 3 months after the first one was published.
Okay.
The third book, it's been a little bit longer.
So
but I do try to write before.
Right. I was going to say, because had you received any feedback from the first one by the time the second one came out?
Yeah, I did. I was getting favorable reviews
good.
And favorable opinions, and definitely people wanted the story to continue. I haven't had anybody say, oh, geez, I wish you'd ended it with one. So I'm like, oh,
geez,
sorry, there's another one.
Well, because in the second one, Justine, at the end, well, we won't give it away what happened at the end of the first one, but it's like a year later, and here it goes again, something else happening to her.
Something else, yeah. Is it tied into what happened before? Is it not? You know, her and Dylan are, I mean, it's so, my books are so hard because you give spoilers everywhere. But I mean, her and Dylan are kind of living a life, and it's normal. But is it normal? I kind of tried to think what would actually happen to a couple who had these crazy experiences and then try to live a normal life. Like just go back to grocery shopping.
Right.
Go back to, you know, getting dinner. Go back to playing cards with their friends. Could they ever really be normal? And that's where the seed started with the sequel, because I had no idea what to write about. And that's how it started. Okay, make them try to be normal.
Right.
And then they're going to experience all of these complications with, well, we can't really be normal.
And you bring in Amanda in this second one.
Yep, that's a new character.
New character. And she's something else a little bit special with her.
Yes, she has the book kind of starts out with her in a prologue. And yeah, she's weaved in through the story and through the younger brother. And, I wanted to introduce a handful of new characters just to keep it kind of fresh and to keep conflict and the relationships kind of, yeah, I wanted to keep it fresh and exciting. So I didn't want to just have the same old characters, even though the readers really liked the characters. I brought out, I mean, pretty much everybody back.
And of course, Justine, once again, has to, another dark power there. She has to go through it all over again.
Yeah, this poor Justine, huh? She deserves a rest after this series for a while.
Well, I don't know, because, I mean, now you say you're sort of on the verge of finishing the third book, taking you a bit longer, because I guess it's trying to wrap two books up into a third is the hard part, I'd have thought.
And this one takes the third one without giving anything away. It just took a lot more research.
Oh, right.
A lot more difficult. Yeah, there's more research going into it because it's some subject that's unfamiliar to me. The first two, I was just kind of shooting off the cuff like I would be in a situation, you know. So this third one was a little bit harder. And like I said, I might be dragging my feet a bit just because I love the characters. So
you don't want them to go. Don't leave me.
I don't. Like the Roman legionnaire.
You're right, yeah.
Just don't want to go.
You don't want to go. When you came to write your first full length, had the short stories and, well, not so much the poetry, but definitely the short fiction stories, had that helped you when it came to writing the first novel?
Oh, did the short stories help?
Yeah.
I think with the like craft itself, it did. I studied at Western Michigan, and I had some wonderful, wonderful professors, and they really helped me with like details and dialogue and always having the characters do something. It was in the context of short stories, but yeah, I just took a bunch of short stories and strung them together.
That's what I was getting at.
Long one.
That's what I was getting at, because that's how I wrote yeah, my first YA. I'd written a lot. Well, I've written short romance stories before, and but I wrote in the days when you used to get a lunch hour at work. Now it's a lunch 2 minutes, you know. And
yeah,
I
2 minutes.
You're, if you're lucky, you know. And I wrote like a chapter. Every, you know, once a week or two a week or something like that during that time. And I wrote it as a, almost like as a short story. So it's like the Saturday morning serial, you know, so that I, each chapter had the person left dangling from the railway line or something, you know.
That's how I do.
You did? Yeah.
To go to the next chapter. So
right.
The dangling there. I did the same thing. Yeah.
And that's, I think it helps because I think it makes people, and I don't know about you, but you know, people, kept turning the page sort of thing. And I think that's it.
Yep.
They get, oh, I'll just read this chapter. Oh no, I must read what the net happened in the next chapter.
It is like
happened.
The old cliffhangers that
serialized
cliffhangers that you would have to then listen to the next week to the radio.
Exactly.
To see what happens. Lone Ranger or something. Yep. Yeah, I write like that.
I think
can't stop reading it.
Exactly. That's what I got. And I think that helps. I think people like that.
Yeah.
You get
I like it when I'm reading.
Oh, crikey, yeah.
I love not wanting a chapter to end.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Then, oh, when is this over? When is this chapter going to end?
Oh, yeah. And then you said, hang on, oh, we're with a different person now. The last time we were there was three chapters ago. What were they doing?
I know, exactly.
That's great. So you've got this third one nearly done. Are you planning to write anything else? You got anything else on the back burner?
I do have something that I've started. It's kind of a historical fiction, kind of a Western.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only maybe 7 or 8 chapters into it. And I think it's going to be a treasure hunt.
Oh.
Because I love treasure hunts. I always loved, just old treasure hunt movies and stuff. So
Lost Gold of Billy the Kid or something. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's, of course it takes more research. Because in modern day, it's a Western. I get lazy. I'm like, oh, I don't want to research this. Or you start writing something, and you're like, oh, did they wear these things? Did they say this? Did they say okay back in? It's maddening sometimes because you have to stop and second guess yourself on anything. It is what it is. So.
It's like, you know,
I mean, not write historical fiction. I guess write something else. But.
It's like Braveheart, the film Braveheart. They didn't wear kilts for about another 110 years after that battle.
Oh, really?
It was like tartan trews. And it wasn't till a bit later, you know, like about 800 years or something like that, after that time that they actually started wearing kilts. There you go.
No, but everybody loves Braveheart. Nobody really cares.
Nobody cares.
They
did get one thing right, though. The Union flag is more blue. Because it only consisted of two flags, whereas now it's three flags. The flag of St. Patrick, which is white with a red diagonal, wasn't added till the late 1800s. So it was just St. George and St. Andrews, just the white with the red plus and the blue with
the
white diagonal.
So they did get the flag right.
They got the and in last...
Anything else is right now is questioning Braveheart.
Well, I don't know. But anyway, the covers. Did you have much say in the covers?
I did, actually. I took the picture for the first one, which was a yellow leaf that had fallen in the woods behind my house on a kind of a, it was really a bright yellow leaf on a dark background, and they used that.
Good.
And then the second one, I had another picture, but he wasn't able to use it, so he picked something similar to it from like a stock photo. So, I do have to say. There was a cover that I didn't really like. And it was kind of weird because, ironically, I do believe this was before COVID. The cover for Snow and Summer almost looked like a strain of contagion. It looked like a virus or something. I don't know if Don will listen to this. I'm sorry, Don, if you're listening. But it's like it was a string and it looked like bacteria.
Right.
I think it was supposed to be like moss. And I said, I don't think so. And I'm so glad because now with COVID and everything, who wants a book with a string of contagious disease across the front of it?
Okay.
Some soft pretty white moth now.
You've got four children. Do any of those? Are any of them ever, any of them old enough to appreciate your writing?
You know, my how old is she now? I forget with four. She's 14. She has read it. She's the only one of the four who has. But yes, she liked it, and she actually came down when she finished the first one, and she had tears in her eyes.
Really? Oh, my goodness.
She cried when it was over. So,
that's great.
And
well, that's great in a nice way.
Yeah, in a nice way. Yeah, she was crying, so she did appreciate it. But the others have not, and my husband, I did read it to him because he's not much of a reader either.
So you read it to him.
I read it to him on a car trip to Colorado.
Wow.
Yeah. And the kids were in the back seat, so, because it's, you know, it's an adult book, so it has some racy scenes.
So you have to skip.
And I was trying to lower my voice, and then, like, my 10-year-old in the back going, what is she doing? What is she doing, Mom? And I'm like, oh, my God. I said, we got to wait till we get to the hotel or something.
There we go.
The kids are all gone, right?
Right. Well, I'm glad we waited and managed to get you on the show because it's been really enjoyable. But what I'm going to do now.
Oh, it's fun talking to you.
What I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where they can find more about you and, of course, your books.
All righty. Well, you can find my books on Amazon, and that is Evening in the Yellow Wood, the Yellow Wood series, book one, and Snow and Summer, the Yellow Wood series, book two. You can also find them on my website, which is Laura Kemp, all lowercase books.com. You can also find me on Barnes & Noble. And if you just happen to be in the beautiful state of Michigan, you can find me scattered throughout in independent bookstores, the most notable being the Mackinac Island Bookstore or the Island Bookstore on beautiful Mackinac Island. They have both of my books, and I will hopefully, fingers crossed, be signing.
There you go. Great.
This summer.
Well, that's something to look forward to. Anyway.
Yes, I know something.
There you go. Well, Laura, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been really fun talking to you.
Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, Laura Kent, L-A-U-R-A, Kemp, K-E-M-P. And we've been talking to her about the first two of her series, the Yellow Wood series, it's called, as you said. It's just was the first one of the first book, and that's what they called the series. Evening in the Yellow Wood is the first one, and the second one, of course, was Snow in Summer, if I remember right. Yes, of course it was. Snow in Summer, yes. And the third one, as she says, it's on its way. On its way. It's getting there. It's nearly finished, ready to come out. So I tell you what, and the fact is, as we were discussing earlier on, the cross genre, it's a book with bits of everything that everybody can read and everybody can enjoy, as we've been talking about it, about the characters and stuff like that. Great stuff. Looks really interesting, couple of books. Anyway, that's it for now. I will be back on Sunday with my music shows at between 5 and 6 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. I'll be with Those Were the Days, and it's the last of our one-hit wonders this week. And then from 6 to 7 with the Swinging 60s, with a bit of a quiz as well along the way. So until then, I will see you Sunday, but I'll be back next Tuesday with another guest on A Book and a Chat. So until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget...